Welcome, listeners, to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and every Saturday at noon on the Progressive Radio Network, I'm delighted to host this show, which connects the dots between personal health, societal health, community health, and the health of our environment. I have covered health as a journalist, and I'm currently a Huffington Post blogger for over 25 years. And on this show, we really connect the dots between our individual and personal health status and decisions, and the social consensus and decisions we make as a society about personal health, health care, energy use, food, the environment, and really all of the things from the larger environment that we need to either sustain our health and sustain the health of the world, or which, if we arrive at the wrong decisions, can actually have an effect of undermining both our health and the earthly environment on which we depend for life. And so that's the theme of our show every week. That was just a beautiful piece of music we heard at the opening called The Garden by Bobby McFerrin from his new CD, Vocabularies. And I really love that piece because it really is a reminder that, you know, it's about the Garden of Eden and how life first, you know, mythologically came into being, and how we all evolved, life forms evolved, and with them ultimately human forms evolved on this planet. And I think it's a good thing to remind ourselves of and stay in touch with, especially in these times. Listeners to the show know that every week I usually offer health actions of the week, and I think that in this show we're going to probably surface a number of them, so I'm doing something a little unusual, which is that I will share those with you on my website, healthjournalistblog.com, after the show, because we may be discussing different initiatives that that you may want to follow up on, and I know that people don't always want to run in and get a pen and write it down, because I'm very excited. This is a very special show for several reasons. One, because of our guest, who I'm really thrilled to speak with. Her name is Dina Metzger. She's a poet, a novelist, a medicine woman, and an activist who has taught and counseled for four decades, and trains people in how to make spiritual, creative, political, and ethical choices for healing and peacemaking for the individual, our communities, and the earth itself. So she's really a wonderful guest to have on this week, as we are, you know, a week in counting from the time of the crisis, environmental and nuclear crisis that has afflicted Japan. So we're very thrilled to have you with us today, Dina, and we'll be talking about the changes in our world that are coming about and how we can respond to them and participate. And it's a perfect day to be having that conversation because it's also a full moon and we're heading into it right now. Dina is also the author of a book that we'll be talking about a little bit more later on the show. It's a novel called Feral. She's actually written many, many books, but this is her most recent one, and really taking us into an experience of primal levels of our being that we don't often know how to either access or talk about, but which have their own form of wisdom to give to us. So again, it's my pleasure, Dina, to welcome you to Connect the Dots.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to finally speak with you, Allison.
We have to confess that we have been connecting repeatedly as Facebook friends.
Right.
And in fact, and so this is our, you know, first in-person, so to speak, conversation, and some of our listeners, we have no doubt will include some of our other Facebook friends, and people who are on Facebook are warmly invited to later in the show send in any questions that you may want to share with Dina or me, and you can write them into my Facebook page, Allison Rose Levy. So Dina, you're actually in the middle of hosting a sacred retreat for some participants, and you have actually sort of, so to speak, stepped away from tending the retreat fire to joining us on the show. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I certainly can. It's more than a retreat. It's what Native people would call a hamblehia or a vision quest. Mm-hmm. And I put, as we put it, five people up on the hill. So they are on the land with water, but without food, and they are in a state of prayer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether to say fortunately or unfortunately, it poured last night. Mm-hmm. And so I have no idea what state they're in. I know it was cold. I know it was raining hard. And I am watching the fire from this place, because that is the relationship that one has with those who are out on the hill, who are making this effort on behalf of community. And so I was up all night keeping the fire in the rain.
Mm.
And it is still burning.
Mm.
So every moment, you know, I was in prayer for them and for the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one thing that one can offer. Because when you're in prayer, you're in a different consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a state of caring. And that changes how one moves in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm very glad to speak with you. It feels as if it is part of my offering to them.
Mm-hmm.
To speak to the community about the times that we are in and the consciousness that we need to acquire
mm-hmm.
for the sake of the future.
Mm-hmm. That's a very important thing, and it's wonderful for the listeners to our show who are listening over the sound waves to, in effect, be, you know, recruited and serving as a wider circle for the people who are on their vision quest. And so being that this is the sacred time of approaching, moving into a full moon, and at a time when there are many things to come to a greater awareness about that we're being called to by events in our world, I'm really thrilled and thankful, Dina, to be able to extend that circle to include the listeners who are listening to us virtually, presently, and later as well when the show is in archive. So thank you so much.
And you know, Alison, it's not only the full moon, but it will be the equinox tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a call from the Hopi community for us to enter into balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is exactly the right time to consider what that might mean.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, let's talk about that because, you know, a few weeks back, all along, we have been part of our evolving conversation and that of our wider community as well on Facebook and elsewhere has been around the need to really not only espouse as a conceptual thought that we are all connected to each other and
right.
that we're all connected to the environment, but to really find the ways to experience that at a deeper level individually and in community, as well as to ground it practically in our larger social reality and action, so that there isn't a kind of disconnect where we're in one spot espousing one thing and other things are kind of going off course in ways that have substantive and often, as we can see, tragic effects
right.
on nature and on large segments, you know, of humanity. So we're really being called to that at this time. So I'd love to, you know, your website is simply wonderful, and I wanted to also mention to listeners of the show that it's a wonderful resource, DinaMetzger.com, that's DinaMetzger.com, and I'll also provide a link to that on the Health Journalist blog site. You know, you're talking about sort of envisioning a different, on this, you have a section where you're, what you call a training proposal for the fifth world. asking us what kind of personal and cultural shifts we can make on, you know, organizational levels and levels of alliance, healing circles. You mentioned a lot of wonderful things, you know, that are kind of calling us to a new recognition of community and interconnection in practical ways in our, in our, in everyone's lives. And I'd love it if you could. To me, this seems like you know, a vision of a pathway forward for some of our current challenges. And I'd love to hear more about that from you.
Well, it's a desperate vision, but mm-hmm. I think it's also a true vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd like to start this way. I got an email this morning from a man who was my student at a community college in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was drafted and went to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And he suffered so profoundly what we now call PTSD, that
mm-hmm.
he was unable to return home.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to locate a phone number and an email for him, and got a an email this morning
mm-hmm.
from Osaka.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he was well. And he said, And I had said to him, "Is there any? What can I offer you?"
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote back, "You know, be present for the community, breathe deeply, and be centered." And he said, "And of course, we are so concerned with what is happening here, and also about Libya." And
mm-hmm.
then he mentioned some other things. I mention this because of connection.
Mm-hmm.
That even though he went to Japan because his PTSD was so bad, he couldn't come home
mm-hmm.
from what he had been asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he is suffering, and of course there are people that he knows probably who have died,
mm-hmm.
and they're so concerned about radiation,
mm-hmm.
he was also concerned about the world. And I believe that we can get through these tragedies to some kind of viable future if we did with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are times when we have to review what our values are and how we live
mm-hmm.
and pragmatically change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not only about speaking about spirit and being kind to each other. We must actively pursue different ways of being.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is really, really true. You know, one of the things that I have been contemplating in this is that a couple of weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went to a social media conference. It was mainly, I would say, people below the age of 40. Some were involved in some activist nonprofit work. Some were working for large companies. And there was a particular panel that I went to, which was on social media and activism. And, of course, you know, here we are. We've met on Facebook,
yes.
and we're talking on internet radio, on the Progressive Radio Network. So, you know, I was interested to see how this was coming about, and someone stood up in the panel and they said something which, in fact, I've heard many, many times from people, which is, what kind of crisis will it take for people to wake up and make a change? And, you know, when I heard those words, and I've heard them many times, I had a kind of ominous feeling, because after the Gulf incident of almost a year ago now, you know, the spill in,
right.
of chemicals into and gas and everything into oil into the you know, the large body of water there, you know, I kind of felt like somehow that wasn't enough. I've worked a great deal with the families of the autistic who are suffering, you know, very severe health problems gas drilling also with chemicals that can contaminate water supplies. And when people kept saying, what, you know, we need, they actually said, we need a crisis. And it's like there are many crises, and this one is definitely an outsized one, without a doubt, in terms of its immediate, tragic, human, national, environmental, personal impact. But, you know, it's like we don't actually need more crises.
No.
What we need really is to face up to the sorrow of what we are creating and allow that to move us. And I hope and pray that, and also, you know, to define ways that people can allow that to happen so that it just doesn't become a media event at a distance.
And it feels to me that what it requires is that we keep vital and sensitive our ways of connection so that we can feel the sorrow. When we're with each other, we can feel the sorrow and we can bear witness, and then we can take responsibility and we can change. But when we get disconnected, then well, then it's like the Nazi doctors. We do things that are horrific because we're not in touch with our deep human feelings. And so empathy and compassion are actually very pragmatic ways of achieving social change.
You know, I really agree with you completely. The place there then actually, so if you know you start thinking, oh, these forces are so big, or I don't know how to change my life, I'm rather boxed in here, in a sense, you don't even have to go there and then rule out options that you may or may not have if you, as you suggest, Dina, begin with the emotional response and give space to that and connect with those who will support you in being present to that, and or even if that support is coming from a connection to nature, for example, or an inner spiritual connection, or a trusted friend, or group, or animals, whatever it might be. That's the beginning, right?
Not or, but and.
And, yes.
I think it must be and. And I realize that you and I connected, at least from my point of view, because I was so moved constantly by what you put on Facebook and the your absolute pragmatic, scientific, rational, intelligent responses and concerns, and your constant heartbreak. And so the fullness of who you are was always present on the page. And when we're heartbroken together, then we also sit and say, what can we do?
Right.
And how can we support each other? And what you do matters to me once we're in relationship. And so it's not about what I can do or achieve or whatever. It's about what needs to be done and who can we support to do it. So there's it is possible, even in our communities, where you're on one coast and I'm on another, to have vital connections.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's, it's actually, there are, it's an amazing, amazing opportunity really has opened up as a resource within these times. And you know, I know a lot of people, say things like, oh, well, people are just talking about, you know, what movie they saw or where they went to dinner on Facebook. And, you know, I say, well, that's not the Facebook conversations that I've been having, you know, because there really, there has been a kind of aggregation of people, you know, who just have kind of naturally, you know, come together around some of this. And I think it is a very important resource and a way of being present, sharing, and also, you know, I think that people, you know, feel either they have a single cause that they're, you know, single-mindedly dedicated to, or on some level they feel helpless or invisible or unheard, or that there's no space for this other aspect. But I think really the first step, as you're saying, Dina, is reflecting another, opening ourselves to being reflected and heard and sharing. That's actually something we all long for, and that's easy to do, and that feels good to do before we start in with checklists. Those can come, and they need to come later, so it isn't just some, you know, abstract or, you know, kind of a palliative thing where you feel temporarily better and yet the problem is allowed to persist because we can't define our way through and beyond it. So I think that's actually, it's an essential place to begin because, you know, we've been encouraged to see our shared reality in a very fragmented way, in a way that disconnects us from our own feelings and each other and our own responses. Somebody I saw also, because I also use these social media to kind of look into the zeitgeist and see what people are feeling, what concerns are surfacing and all. Somebody said, they were saying, oh, you know, the concerns that, for example, radiation might come from Japan to the west coast of the United States, and people were concerned about this, and there's been, you know, talk of taking potassium iodide and various other things, seaweeds, etc. And someone wrote that was silly, hysterical, you know, they belittled the concern.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I thought that was, and in fact, there's been a good deal of that. You know, so I just want to raise that with you because this is like, you know, we're talking about being present to the sort of feelings of, you know, ourselves and our interconnection. And yet it's kind of like, how do we face some of these challenging things, some of which provoke fear? Like the idea of radiation coming is certainly frightening. You know, without going into a kind of a sort of a disconnected panic, but without dismissing it, ruling it out, suppressing it, laughing at it, labeling it, you know, or saying, oh, it's just impossible that because someone in authority said so, you know, that there could ever be a radiation concern that we might share. Because, you know, I feel that we all share the radiation concern. If it's affecting the Japanese people at this time, and the Earth is all connected, I don't think we can say, they're having that problem, them over there, and I draw a line. I feel sorry for them, but here I'm safe. And I think in a way that's a way of distancing ourselves.
Well, I think that we get involved in the ways that we do with our weaponry, for example,
mm-hmm.
because we have the naive sense that we can use those weapons over there and not be affected over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we are affected over here, as for example with the veterans who came home suffering from Agent Orange and then passing that on to their children, etc., then the courts come in with their naive no knowledge and say, no, this isn't true, and we are not going to acknowledge that there's any harm done, or that there was any harm done on the reservation, for example, in mining uranium, and yet there are all these consequences to Native peoples. So the fear, if it's acknowledged and is used to bear witness, and if we ally with each other, then we can see what's the next step. So my first response when I was concerned about the radiation was, how could I protect the community?
Mm-hmm.
And what are we afraid of? And what can we do to take care of ourselves? And then what are the next steps? So a first step might be to find out what the radiation might be.
Mm-hmm.
Second step is to gather in community.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are many things that come from that, and one of them was, for me, to write to our governor, Jerry Brown, and say, we have a very serious situation here with San Onofre and Diablo Canyon nuclear reactors.
Mm-hmm.
Will you please act like the governor of New York State?
Mm-hmm.
And call for closing these down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you've got to move the nuclear fuel
mm-hmm.
somewhere. And then you have to face the fact that you don't know where to move them, that we don't know how to make these safe. And so then the next step is, let's at least not build new ones.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a relationship between recognizing the fear and the danger, being in community about it, and then all the different ways that different people would find to respond.
And honoring those, you know, it's so congruent that you say that, because just as you said that, a comment came in on Facebook from one of our Facebook tribe friends, Sharon, and I'll just read her comment and include her in the conversation, because it's exactly to what we're talking about here. And she writes, how do we reach beyond our own approach to a dialogue with every woman and every man? One of her projects, she says, is to connect with people in her daily life about what is going on in our world and to ask what they think is taking place and engage with them where they are. And she is a Jungian analyst,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure there are a lot of healers listening to this program, so she also proposes that we use our skills, you know, whatever they are, and extending them, you know, to our, you know, taking the strength that we all get from our own immediate circle of support to know we're not in this alone, we don't have to do it alone, but there's something each of us can do. And she says, we each have our own particular way of contributing to world healing. It feels most important that we honor the many paths leading toward our shared goal.
And that feels so important, because the world is a complex place. That is its vitality.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go into monoculture or monoagriculture, mono anything,
mm-hmm.
then we do not have a viable system.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we meet in council, for example, here in Topanga once a month, which we've been doing for almost, next month it's going to be 13 years.
Wow.
We bless the diversity.
Mm.
And because of the diversity and also because we share both joy and pain, we change. And then there are many different ways that we can respond to the world. And a woman came to council this month where we had a guest, a veteran by the name of Ron Zaleski, who is walking barefoot across the country. And in fact, in about another hour, he will come to the end of his barefoot walk at Santa Monica Pier.
Hmm.
The end of Route 66.
Wow.
And he carries a sign that says 18 veterans a day commit suicide because of PTSD. And he is asking for mental health, mental help, and counseling for all veterans.
Hmm.
And so this woman came and she said, I have spent my entire life afraid of making a commitment and afraid of looking at what's really happening. But after being at DARE in council for all these years, she's ready to make a commitment and to be active in the world. And that's because we meet in community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that. So that makes so much sense, too. So it's like we take the strengths from community and then we both support our goal, our community goal, but we also can do, as Sharon describes, a kind of creation of different pathways that might be also accessible and ready to open up. I have a, as people who listen to this and anyone who comes near me pretty much knows pretty well, I have a very, you know, strong commitment to protecting the water supply, our water as the source of life. It's very important. And across the world, actually, you know, it's under threat of contamination by some of the chemicals used in the hydraulic fracturing gas drilling process. And so I'm connected to a very strong community of around that, and many, many, you know, rural people too. You know, not the people with all these fancy words like I am, but some very tough and direct talking people, no nonsense people. And I tell you, really come to love so many of these people. They're so great. And so getting involved, if you aren't involved in some action that speaks to you, if you haven't done it, it's a great time to do it and to, you know, kind of tune in with what speaks to you. If there are some that you are involved with, it's a great time to connect between, you know, because our program is called Connect the Dots, connect between different communities. And we're going to head into a break now. And, you know, so I hope listeners will stay with us for our next segment of Connect the Dots with Dina Metzger. And I'm Allison Rose Levy.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah, Jeff.
Your girlfriend gave another interview.
No, don't play it.
Listen to this.
I have a journalism degree. That is what I studied. I understand that this cornerstone of our democracy is a free press.
Shut it off. I said not to play it.
We are in the worst reality show in history.
Why won't she shut up?
You know she's going to be president, right?
Okay, stop it. That's not funny.
I think we should just go limp. Lay back. Maybe then the mama grizzly won't tear off your limbs.
Cheater in the Rood. Thursdays, 8 p.m. Progressive Radio Network.
Gary Knoll. I've been on radio for 37 years, every day, and I'm pleased that the Progressive Radio Network exists, because this is the one form that brings together some of the most important, probing, creative, and dynamic minds on the planet. Join us each and every day, 24/7, on the Progressive Radio Network, your home for independent thinking.
Every Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join the founders of the Godspeed Institute for Spiritual Learning, Carol and Michael Hallenbeck, for Godspeed, an enlightening and informative journey into the world's religions and spiritual belief systems. Through conversations with experts worldwide, this weekly live call-in program is an on-air classroom aimed at helping listeners gain exposure to and insight into religious and spiritual practices around the world. Every Sunday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Progressive Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Mike Adams, the editor-in-chief and key writer of naturalnews.com and co-founder of the nonprofit site consumerwellness.org. I'll be starting a special segment on the Progressive Radio Network called The Health Ranger with Mike Adams. I'll be interviewing everyone from Dr. Jane Goodall to Suzanne Summers. Find out the latest in natural healing news and easy ways to live a healthier and more holistic lifestyle. So tune in on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern every week on the Progressive Radio Network to hear The Health Ranger with Mike Adams.
Driving you crazy? Do you have a cheating boyfriend or girlfriend? An ex you can't let go of? An obnoxious boss? Adult kids who won't listen? I'm Hollis Polk, and I fix relationship problems. Your life, your relationship with Hollis Polk offers you practical solutions for all sorts of people problems. Listen and call in Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, or download the podcast at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com.
This is PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back, listeners, to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and every week our show connects the dots between personal health, societal health, community health, and the health of the earth. And this week, my guest is Dina Metzger, poet, medicine woman, healer, and activist. And we're just having a really terrific conversation. Before we return to it, I'm just going to give you some ways to follow up and stay involved with Dina and me so that, you know, you can be part of this ongoing conversation. Dina's website is dinametzger.com. That's DeNaMetzger.com, and there's just a wealth of wonderful information and writing from Dina, who is a poet and has written so many wonderful things over the years. She also teaches, nurtures the talents of other writers, brings together healing councils, and you can find her latest work, a book called Feral. Read more about that on her website, as well as order it on Amazon.com. And it's really takes you right out of the civilized trance, you know, I would say, that we're all living in. And of course, my website is healthjournalistblog.com. I'm a 25-year health journalist of the integrative health movement and a Huffington Post blogger. And at my site, you'll find blogs, and you can also sign up there. And if you give your email, you'll receive my blogs. You'll receive weekly activist opportunities, so it's not a daily barrage, and as well as announcements of upcoming radio shows. And actually, we're also hoping to perhaps get Helen Caldicott on the show, which would be great. And, you know, I think our guests have really been pretty terrific. You can also go to the archive area of Progressive Radio Network to listen to past shows. We've had some terrific speakers talking about health and environmental research, intuition, a whole range of wonderful topics. To get back into our conversation, I'm going to read a quote from another of our Facebook friends, and then we'll go into a question that someone else has written. This comes to us from David Eisenberg.
aha.
May we now awaken to the dangers of the great modern myth, he writes, that we know what we're doing and that we're in control. And may we then devote ourselves to creating human systems that are closely attuned to the laws of nature, differentiate between reality and abstractions, and that resonate with the wisdom of the human heart.
Thank you, David.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And we also have a question from one of our friends who's from Europe. Her name is T.R. Duncan. She works with Environmental Solutions, and she has also written in to ask, what would our world look like if we were not afraid of each other? What do we do to enhance the sense of commons so the community can blossom?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what our world would look like is, it would be so complex and so beautiful, and we don't know what it'll look like, but we would have to, without fear, we offer ourselves up to the great mystery. It would look something, I think, like the astonishing beauty of the natural world.
Mm-hmm.
Because the cypress tree is not afraid of the grass. And I'm sitting here, you know, looking at this sacred fire outside in the patio and watching the squirrels eat the birdseed that we put out as an offering. We cast a sacred circle and put out birdseed, and the squirrels are going around and picking it up. And it looks a little bit like Eden, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And the squirrels aren't afraid of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not afraid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes an enormous difference when we respond to each other with a delight as to who is this person.
Mm-hmm.
We have these monthly councils called Dare, which means council actually in the Shona language of Southern Africa. And what we say is that everyone who comes to Dare is a member of Dare, and we never know who's coming. It's open to the community. And when someone walks in, I have the sense of, who is this angel who has appeared and whose wondrous nature will reveal itself to us?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels very important to have that open door.
Well, you know, I'm going to ask one of my, you know, sort of devil's advocate,
please,
journalist type questions for this one, which is, you know, obviously we develop those strengths with people who are aligned enough or close enough in values and caring to ourselves to show up at a Dare or, you know, join in the kinds of things that various of us are involved with. Someone, our friend Margot, has written that she's participating in a peace march with Cindy Shan this afternoon.
Mm.
But, you know, what about, you know, the kind of people who ridicule you know, speak harshly you know, of people who are in crisis or in need, who have a punitive attitude toward people in need or people suffering, you know, in our society? How do we, in what light can we see them without without fear and with understanding?
Well, I think we have to find the point of connection.
Mm-hmm.
And the story that sustains me is a story from my own life. I was in Liberia some years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was some years after the horrific civil war, and there was a peace-building organization called Everyday Gandhis, and mm-hmm. we were stuck in the mud, as everyone else was, and at some point, a man came over to us, and he said, I've been listening to your conversations because we've been stuck in the mud, and I want to talk with you, and I want to tell you my story. And he said, and my name is General Leppard, and he was one of the horrific rebel generals.
Oh, my.
And he did the worst that has ever been done during a war. And he is now part of our peace-building team.
Wow.
And he calls me Mama. And and he has been here in my house many times. I actually put him up on the hill last June because he really wanted to prepare to carry the spirit of peace, not only the action of peace, but the spirit of peace in a spiritual way. And he needed to be able to have some time on in the natural world and with the divine to see how to do it. I could never imagine that I would be friends with a man like this. So we have to find, if we meet each other across a great divide, we will never be able to have a conversation because we're just standing in our opinions. But if we meet each other in heartbreak and in truth, then something is possible.
That's very, very inspiring, because I guess what I remember when you recount that story is that the people who are doing harsh things are on some level in heartbreak too. Maybe they don't even have a space to go to with that or know it themselves, you know. Yeah. And there's no way that they, you know, they may kind of hunker down and try to forget or, you know, block that realization of that. But on some level, it's true anyway. So even if they may not know it, we still have to kind of hold that understanding while, of course, not, you know, exposing ourselves or others, you know, to acts of harm in, you know, in the process of holding that understanding. So, but it is a mitigating thing, you know, to be able to know that.
You know, we do something called fire circle and water circles, because we live in California and we can't always sit around the fire in the old ways, so sometimes we have to sit around a fountain, and to heal war. And we invite whoever needs to come. It could be a veteran suffering PTSD. It could be a woman who's husband was killed in Guatemala. It could be someone who was tortured in Colombia. Obviously, I'm listing the people who have come. It could be a World War II victim, so on and so forth. And we really believe that the so-called enemies, perpetrator and victim, sitting down together, talking to each other honestly from the heart about what they know about war, are the source from which real, true peace building will come. And so if you know that someone has suffered, and if you recognize, and you're willing to recognize your own suffering, there is the possibility of a conversation.
This is so resonant with a question that's just come in from Margot Stebbing, who is going to the peace rally in the afternoon, and she's learned that a Vietnam veteran will be there rallying against the peace march because he is concerned that the protest will wind up in people mistreating veterans of the current wars in Afghan and Iraq, much as he experienced that Vietnam veterans of his time were mistreated. And so Margot is asking for creative suggestions about a sign that she might carry that would be inclusive. She suggested, "I support the veterans and peace." or any other creative ideas, you know, if in terms of including him so that, you know, because just as you said, he's coming from what he has suffered and not, you know, in a sense of protectiveness about not wanting the newest veterans to go through the same thing. So it's like, I guess it's what's really being asked here, how is there a consistency between honoring the service in war and seeking peace? You know, how do the two come together?
Well, you know, as she's going to that peace march, of course, my husband is going to be with Ron Zaleski, a veteran of the Vietnam War, who is concerned about the suicide rate among veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, actually, it's 18 per day who are successful.
Oh, my.
Mm. It's about 36 per day who try.
Mm.
And Ron says he weeps every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he was here at Dare, he spoke about how badly treated he was when he came back from Vietnam, as if he was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in some way, these soldiers are the first victims of war.
Mm-hmm.
And they are asked to do things that no human being should be asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to make alliances with everyone.
So go forth, Margot, with that understanding.
I don't know what the sign will be, but Margot will think of it. She will find it the right sign.
No, I think that's the place right there. It's just even knowing that in your heart is even, you know, is exactly what, that's what we were saying at the beginning of the show, is it begins with your own understanding and even just, you know, carrying that, and then maybe the opportunity. Margot will have to get back to us and let us know what devolved. Because I often find that, I'm sure you do too and everyone does, that, you know, when you ask a question, you know, and it's some sort of open to the answer, sometimes, you know, things will happen that will give you the answer, or, you know, the opportunity will be provided to, you know, to learn or to practice some new understanding like that.
And,
so,
and what I heard from what Marco said to begin with is that this veteran was going to be at the peace rally.
Mm-hmm.
So he is a member of that rally. If you don't look at him as antagonistic, but expressing another voice, because the war between those veterans and the civilians has to end. If we're going to end war. So he is an active member seeking peace.
Exactly. I mean, that makes the, you know, that's
so it's just switching our thinking a little bit. You know, and you say, thank you for coming. Thank you for presenting this point of view. And in many circles here, actually, people have apologized to the veterans for the way they responded. And I can say, when we were young and when we didn't know better, and we didn't know that we were making war on our brothers, our uncles, our fathers, etc.
Well, yeah, I mean, in fact, you know, one of the things that, you know, that you said is true, that the veterans are actually, you know, the first casualties of some of, you know, of a war initiative, and that's really true. One of the things that I've noticed is there's kind of a, I don't know how to say this, but a striving to avoid an identification with anything that seems to be suffering or victimized, or, you know, one doesn't want to be, I mean, I hear this from people, you know, they don't want to be holding hands with people they perceive as victims. And so, you know, it's kind of a scary thing, you know, embracing the victim, and then others are afraid of perpetrators, obviously, you know, fearsome. So what you're saying is really, you know, we have to deal with the fear on either side of that, which goes back to the question that TR had, and really embrace, find the way to embrace and include both. Is really what I hear
one of the things that came across my computer this morning was a statement by a woman in Japan who had suffered from Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and she spoke about how the victims of the fallout, who carry the scars, were ostracized, you know, because they carry the visible evidence of the wound, as do the children, for example, of Chernobyl, as do the children of Agent Orange,
and the children of autism,
and the children of autism, and I'm thinking of when I had breast cancer, and I had a mastectomy, and I had my chest tattooed because it felt important to be able to say, I'm not going to hide this wound. And the wound of breast cancer, of course, comes out of so many things, including environmental contamination and radiation.
And I think that kind of brings us full circles on this Connect the Dots, Dina, and because we're coming to the end of our show, we obviously have to do another show another time. So, you know, thank you so much, and thank you, listeners, for being with Dina Metzger and me, Allison Rose Levy, on Connect the Dots, and please join us again next week at noon on Eastern Time for Connect the Dots on the Progressive Radio Network.